Besides Brexit, the session is set to include discussions on Iran and internet extremism. Charles de Ledesma, London.
The Weinstein Company, mired in a sex scandal, may be putting itself up for sale. It's getting an immediate cash infusion from Colony Capital and is in negotiations for a potential sale. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth, and this is my co-host, Sean.
Hello.
It is a marvelous day in this beauty wood.
What makes you say that?
I don't know. My...
Don't say beauty wood again, for sure.
No. Okay, older people are going to know that is Mr. Rogers.
Oh, okay.
You know,
that's fine then.
I always say it to
but watch yourself.
I always say it to my wife because she has this massive collection of sweaters, and so she's always putting on different sweaters. And I always say it's a marvelous day in this beauty wood. Is she
okay? Well, now that you've explained it, I can sanction the word beauty wood.
All right.
But okay, why is it marvelous?
Well, I don't know. But one conspiracy that we can undo is apparently so there used to be a conspiracy about Mr. Rogers that he was a sniper. And that under his sweater, he was, like, covered in, like, military tats.
Oh, yeah, I think I heard that, actually. Yeah.
Apparently, it wasn't true.
Yeah, I also heard that it was not true.
Yeah, but when I was little, my brother, Soames, won a competition for Mr. Rogers to call our house. Hmm. And my mom always thought it was really funny because she answered the phone and Mr. Rogers was there and he's all, "Is this Soames' mommy?" Like, she's all, "Yeah." And then my brother got to talk to him for a little bit.
Oh, that's cool.
So, other things that's new with me, seeing how you never ask, I always got to ask you.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize you were waiting this whole time.
I was. It's been like
half a year. How is your life,
Chauncey? Yeah, let me catch you up on the past half year, Sean.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just don't care. I assumed you were exceptionally interested in my life, and so I was obliging you. But
my daughter was kicked in the back by a horse this weekend.
Oh, criminy.
I know. Isn't that hardcore? Yeah, she was kicked in the back. I was out on Friday night. And my wife got the deal, and she took care of it all before she told me, which was probably good, because as soon as I got the call, I got all freaky, you know. But she's okay now, but...
Kicked in the back by a horse.
Yeah.
Horses are notorious for powerful legs, as far as I know. That's,
yeah.
So, that's less than optimal.
No, it is less than optimal, and you know, she gets this from her mom...
Being kicked by horses?
Yes. Yes. You know, I am a urbanite. Even though I have been raised in a small town, I was definitely from a larger town and raised by a mother who was from a larger town. And so, you know, I'm not really sort of in touch with my country chaunts. But her mom used to do competitive barrel racing and all kind of stuff like that. So Harley kind of gets the best of both worlds.
I see.
You know, she's into computers and tech stuff, and then she's a barrel racing competitor now as well. She also does something called Gymkhana.
Is that... No, that's Gymkata, which is a horrible movie.
Barrel racing is like a type of Gymkhana, but they're like time trials. So, like, you run your horse down and run around a stick and come back. Or you run your horse down and go into a keyhole shape, turn your horse around and come back,
okay.
And they're time trials.
Well, images were running through my head of, like, men racing horses while wearing barrels, and it wasn't working. So.
No.
Good. Yeah. Thank you. I'm glad we cleared that up.
So, ultimately...
I know nothing about the great outdoors. I'm just kind of...
Yeah. Well, it terrifies me, and it always terrifies me, and it's mainly her mom's fault why it terrifies me. Because I've heard her mom's horror stories. Her mom got kicked in the face by a horse.
That could kill you.
Yes. She fell off a horse and was dragged unconscious for 20 minutes behind the horse and had a scar from the top of her leg all the way down to her ankle, the straight line, kind of like a pantyhose line of a scar from being dragged unconscious behind this horse. And then, being just the generalized coward that I am, the mere fact that horses have teeth the size of Pop-Tarts terrifies me.
Right.
You know.
Right. I mean, they're just these huge muscular monsters, aren't they?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
People just get on them and ride around like, oh, this is just a normal thing to do.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I'm using this other life form as my mode of travel.
Yeah. I mean, I guess traveling in a car is scary too or something, but it's not like, you know, it's not as visceral.
Right.
You don't feel like your car is going to eat you.
Right.
Unless, well, I guess some cars. Like if it's a Hummer.
Right. But jokes aside, I am happy that Harley's mom has exposed her to this side of life, something that I really couldn't provide her.
Sure.
But I do get scared when Harley gets going real fast, you know.
And gets kicked in the back by a horse.
Yeah, I wasn't there to witness that. I would have fallen over. I would have been.
But she's fine. She still has all of the use of all of her limbs.
Yeah, she does. But you know how, like, when you work out extra hard or something like that, and, like, you don't feel it the next day, but the next day and the next day, it's, like, extra brutal?
Mm.
She's in that right now.
Oh.
So, like, wow. The very next day, she went and competed, you know, doing some barrel racing.
That sounds unwise.
Yeah, it probably was unwise, but, you know, cowgirl up, I guess.
I guess.
What are you going to do? You know,
not compete in a race the day after you got kicked in the back by a, like, half-ton animal.
Yeah, yeah. But she went to school today, too, but she was not a happy camper when she came home, you know. I ibuprofened her up. But aside from that, we have a awesome guest today.
Yes. The horse that kicked your daughter.
Yeah.
We're going to get the full story here.
It's all, hello, Wilbur. Yeah,
literally Mr. Ed.
Yeah, yeah. Now, an awesome guest today. A lot of the topic is going to be sort of things in the Bible conspiracy, and a lot of it, giants.
That's an interesting kind of mix there.
You'd think so, but actually it's a really common topic and a really big part of biblical conspiracy and sort of ancient civilization conspiracy is giants.
Wow. Well, clearly there's a lot I don't know about this. I'm excited to dive in.
Yeah. Well, you better be. Gary Wayne is our guest.
Gary
and
Wayne.
He's an author. And I don't know. I'm pretty excited about this. All right. So when we come back, we have our guest, Gary Wayne. You are listening to Radio Wasteland.
When Science reported vehicle collision repair technology is advancing faster than medicine. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Alan Gordon, CEO of Coachmaster, is doing his part to provide the North Valley with the latest technology. He has added another frame machine using ultrasound computer measuring. Ultrasound can measure the frame and produce a printed document to verify any damage before repair is started. When repair is completed, an after document is printed for verification. Finally, wheel alignment is by our 3D imaging system. It produces the most accurate wheel alignment and also verifies frame accuracy, providing additional confidence for the vehicle owner. Three lasers, ultrasound measuring, infrared, 3D imaging. This sounds like NASA, but no, it's the best equipped collision repair shop in the North Valley. Coachmaster Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Hi there, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living, inviting you to join us for our first annual Grill and Chill event on Saturday, October 21st from 1 to 4 p.m. We will have the professional grillers from the Shasta Association of Grillers and Smokers. There will be tasting and judging by the community and a panel of judges, including Sheriff Tom Basanko. The competition is for tri-tip and beans, and there will be cash prizes awarded. Our tri-tip has been donated by Cisco Foods and local company Premier Meats, and our signs donated by Signstations Graphics. There will be a free raffle drawing every half hour. This is a free event with music by Kickin' It and longtime local favorites, the Pine Dogs. At River Commons, we believe in having fun and giving back to our local community. Again, come on by Saturday, October 21st from 1 to 4 p.m. and enjoy the free tastes and sounds at River Commons Senior Living, 301 Hartnell Avenue, next door to the Veterans Clinic.
Dark desires and hidden agendas fuel extreme behaviors. As Shasta College presents Arthur Miller's heart-pounding play, The Crucible, based on the Salem witch trials and inspired by the McCarthy hearings of the 1950s. The Crucible will take you on an emotional roller coaster ride of disturbing and often terrifying levels. Perfect for Halloween thrill seekers looking for something new and exciting. This spellbinding production is directed by Dr. Gregory Thorson, with David Fraser as the set designer, and features costumes by Hilary Fahey, lighting by Tim Dye, and hair and makeup by Matthew McDonald. The Crucible opens at the Shasta College Theater on October 13th and runs through October 22nd. Tickets are $12 for general admission, $10 for seniors, and $5 for students. It's Arthur Miller's classic play, The Crucible, coming to the Shasta College Theater October 13th and running through October 22nd. Purchase tickets online at shastacollege.edu.
All right, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and our guest, are you there?
I am.
Sorry, I lost track. How are you doing?
I am doing fine, and just so happy to be here tonight, and looking forward to the show.
Yeah, well, this is, you know, my usual, I think I got cut off there when I said our guest, Gary Wayne. This is my usual question of... that I ask folks, you know, it's not a very exciting one, and it's one that you've been asked a thousand times, but how did you get started? You know, that's always the thing that new listeners want to know, but I'm, you know, maybe not too exciting for you, but we want to know.
Sure. So I'm a real history buff, and I'm a mythology buff, and I'm also a prophecy buff. And so I thought what I would do is I was doing my research on prophecy. I thought I would maybe start and write my first book on something connected to prophecy, which this book definitely is, but something that was going to be short and easy. So I thought I'd connect Genesis 6, which has the creation of the giants, to end time prophecy. And somewhere along the way, it turned into the shortest book that I thought I would write to probably the longest book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like... the topic of giants has been just kind of huge in biblical conspiracy. Where did you really get started with that specifically? Where did, you know, what piqued your interest there?
Well, just the idea as I was cataloging everything in the Bible as to how many times the giants would come up. I mean, it's quite stingy before the flood, but it crops up quite a bit after the flood. And I just kept running across all of these sort of parallels. And then you have, you know, Jesus talking about the end times and the signs and his second coming. And he's talking about those times are going to be like the days of Noah. And so I thought, can I connect that in a book and a story? And we have fallen angels being talked about in the New Testament. We have fallen angels, you know, in Revelations. We have the abyss. We have demons. And so I was just going to sort of quickly connect that together. But as I started to do more research and I started to rely on some of my knowledge of history and mythology, is all of a sudden I learned that all of these stories, whether it's in Greek mythology about the Titans or the Anunnaki or in the Vedas and the Upanishads when they're talking about, you know, giants like the Daitya or the Sura, or the Miaozi of China, they're all telling the same story around the world, which I thought was rather crazy and interesting. And the more I dug into that and some aspects of giants in history and the royal families and the dynasties that they created, was it led me into secret societies, which I found out were created in about the same time along with the mystery religion. So it just was, as I went down that rabbit hole, there was just more and more rabbit holes to go down and to follow.
So why do you think there is so much conspiracy wrapped into specifically the Christian religion? Why do you think there's so many sort of hidden truths in there? Do you think that there have been cover-ups, or why is this not something that most Christians are rolling with?
Yeah, it's something that's not taught in seminary schools, and it's certainly not taught in standard church sort of doctrine and sermons that you're going to hear when you go into a Christian church. But there's a ever sort of growing movement about exactly that. Why isn't the church teaching all about everything that's in the Bible? Because when you do, and I get so many people telling me, is that once I've read your book, all of a sudden the Bible made sense. All these different loose ends that were out there, I couldn't really connect together. But now I understand how those pieces sort of fit together. And I think for some reason, and this is a very sort of oxymoron sort of statement, is that it may be a little bit too far out there to get into the idea and the notion that giants were actually created, and they were created by fallen angels, and these were the demigods of old that they talk about in other cultures, because it's too fantastic. But the ironic part about that is that the whole Bible is, like, you know, essentially supernatural. So it's very strange that they would not want to talk about this or put it on the top shelf. But that's more of a recent last couple hundred years or so, and certainly, you know, towards 1600, probably you start to see a turning point on that, because it was a standard doctrine of the church before that. But I think as we move forward into modern times, it was just one of those things they don't want to talk about because they feel it might discredit the credibility. But I think quite the opposite, actually.
So for our listeners who maybe don't know, where are we suspecting that these giants came from? You're saying they're the demigods of old, and I get what you mean by that, but maybe you can explain to our listeners.
Sure. Yeah, so in Genesis 6, it says quite clearly that the sons of God, which are Ben Ha'alalim, or angels as we understand them in the Christian religion, came to human females and produced children by them that were giants, that were the Nephilim. And in the King James Version Bible, it'll say giant, and in other versions, it'll say Nephilim. And if you take giant back to Hebrew out of the King James, it says Nephilim, a tribe of giants. So it's just the same thing. And these were the superheroes of old. And I don't use that word loosely, because if you take the word hero back to its ancient understanding, not as a hero that we understand it today, but more similarly how it's applied to a hero in Greek times, for example, was known as the offspring of a god and a human female and or a demigod. So somebody like Hercules or Perseus would be considered a Nephilim in that sort of context. And that's exactly what they were, because they were superhumans and they were giants. So that's where they come from. And the interesting thing is not so much for me as to that happened, although that, I think that's quite interesting that you can have angels from another dimension and spiritual beings somehow physically copulating with human females and creating giants. But it's what happened after that it really gets interesting.
Yeah, well, ultimately, the angels, there's kind of been some back and forth on this. You know, angels aren't necessarily supernatural. They're just another being created by God. Apparently, we're having a connection problem. So, is this ringing any bells to you? You haven't heard any of this, huh, Sean?
He lost me at Bible.
Oh, really? No, no.
Yeah,
this is,
you know, I'm not so familiar with all of this, to be honest.
Oh, no, this is a very big topic in biblical conspiracy and conspiracy on the whole, that there are so many stories that are just sort of lost underneath.
Right.
And a big one of them is giants, you know, Goliath, of course, being the one. And it sounds like we have him on back, so nobody has to hear my... my poor interpretation of the topic.
But they might be giants, I understand.
Right. We got your back, Gary?
Yeah, not sure what happened there.
Oh, no problem. Don't worry about it. So we were basically discussing, I was basically saying that angels were just another creation of God and are not necessarily supernatural in themselves. Because in listening to these stories, that was one part that I... You know, I always got a little bit confused about, you know, angels and people making babies and then on top of that making giant babies. But I figured they came out as normal baby size and then worked their way up.
Yeah. Yeah, no. And actually, angels aren't just like humans. They can take a form of an average human, and we see that in the Bible. But we also see angels of great size and as shining, opalescent beings. They take many, many different forms. So... But that's because they come from, you know, a different dimension, as we call it in Christianity, the heaven dimension, and they take on a form of their choice when they come into this realm. But typically, they're known as sort of larger size beings, although they can take the shape of a man or any sort of form that they choose. And so, along with that, taking this form in this dimension, it permits them to choose a sex as well. So they can be male or female, and that's where we see that sort of cross-reference or cross-pollination that you see in other mythologies around the world where you have gods and goddesses, and they are the ones like Zeus, you know, producing with human females to make Hercules, or Poseidon producing with Clymene to produce the 10 Titan kings of the Atlantean Empire.
So you're saying that a lot of these gods from ancient myth might not be gods, but actually angels.
Yeah, it's just a matter of what the perspective is. So when you get into the other religions around the world, they have a pantheon of gods. And they all have essentially the same sort of pantheon and same hierarchy all around the world. So it seems that, you know, they're talking about the same kinds of gods. And so when we look at those gods from a Christian perspective, those are the fallen angels and or the demigods and other gods that they would have created at that time as well. So, yeah, that would exactly be what I'm talking about.
So seeing how they're fallen angels, they were probably purposefully misrepresenting themselves as being gods.
Well, yes, because they rebelled. And so these angels, they also had authority before the flood, and even before that, perhaps, they were known as the Watchers, or the Grigori, or the Governors, or the Celestial Mafia that I like to talk about in my book, that were governing the different regions of the earth. And so they had authority on earth, and these are the same angels that rebelled against God and would have been led by Satan, but most people might know some of these angels from horror movies or science fiction or what have you. That comes out of the Book of Enoch that lists them, such as angels as Azazel or Semyaza, and there's seven major ones. Just as there's seven major gods that are in Mount Olympus, or around the world, just as there are seven sacred mountains that are also around the world. So there's a very, as I say, there's a very similar story that's being told around the world, just from a different religious perspective.
Well, we're coming up on our very first break here. You're listening to our guest, Gary Wayne, and we will be right back. You're listening to Radio Wasteland.
If you live in the Reading area and have been contemplating going solar, now is the time. Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, president of Powerhouse Solar. The state-mandated solar energy rebate currently offered by Reading Electric Utility is ending on October 31st. This rebate can put up to $5,000 cash in your pocket. If you've been told in the past that solar was not available in your area due to solar installation caps, those restrictions have been lifted for a limited time. Taking advantage of this rebate opportunity is simple. Call the Reading Electric Utility today, and they will give you a voucher number. Then call Powerhouse Solar, and we will design and install a state-of-the-art SunPower solar energy system to meet your family's specific energy needs. Powerhouse Solar is the elite dealer for SunPower and is the oldest SunPower dealership in California. Don't miss this opportunity. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on Facebook or at powerhousesolar.com.
Save, save, save.
At Reading Kia's Customer Appreciation 10 sale this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Reading Kia says thank you with big discounts on every new Kia in stock.
This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 418 East Cypress Avenue, Reading Kia, ReadingKia.com.
Stand Down 2017 is at the Shasta District Fairgrounds in Anderson, Thursday, October the 26th through Saturday the 28th. For information on how to get help or if you have something to contribute, call 605-811.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Granite and Things. Hey, Mike, so I gotta ask, what's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's gonna last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The and things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever popular granite line roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it Forever Furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed. But after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at estategranite.com.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004. But our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday morning, October 20th, from 8 to 9 on Free Fire Radio, here on AM 1460 KCNR.
Are you entertainment-minded? Do you like to hear people discuss fun topics?
Well, we talk about all things pop culture.
From movies and TV to books, music, games, and everything in between. But with a twist, everything is not very current.
We'll talk about things we recently discovered and have decided we just have to share our thoughts on.
Which gives us the title of our show.
We're a little behind.
Hosted by us, Chris and Jen Gomez.
Join us every Tuesday night from 6 to 7 p.m. for We're a Little Behind. Right here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460 AM.
When you were young, you were the king of cauliflowers. And how you built the tower, tell me.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Gary Wayne. We're talking about biblical conspiracy and specifically giants at this point. Gary, this is a topic that I have listened to quite a bit, but it's not one I'm very educated on. But I'm under the impression that a lot of the giant references from the Bible are actually coming from the Book of Enoch. Is this correct? Or
well, Enoch is a good companion Bible, or not a Bible, but a companion apocryphal book. And it's not in the Bible. So there's some issues with Enoch, so you want to be careful with it. But if you want to get some more context and some more details, it's a good thing to read a side of the Bible. But giants are spoken of quite regularly in the Old Testament. So you're going to hear of nations called like the Rephaim. You're going to hear Anakim. You're going to hear Abim. You're going to read about Emim. You're going to read about Horim. You're going to read about the Amalekites. You're going to read about many of these nations. And it just doesn't register, except unless if you pay attention, that some of these nations are giants. And some of them might actually be called giants. Like the Rephaim and the Anakim are definitely talked about as giants.
Yeah, the only one that, of course, sticks out to most of us would be Goliath, is the one that sticks out to most of us.
Yeah, so as by a name, right?
Yeah.
So what I was doing was I was providing the sort of family tree or the tribes of giants. So Goliath, and if you take that back, as he's called a giant in the King James Version, if you take that back to Hebrew, it's going to say Rapha. Or Rephaim. So Rapha is the father of the Rephaim, just as Arba is the father of the Anak. And those names are definitely in the Bible. And you also have King Sihon and you have King Og, which are talked about as Rephaim and are the first battles just before Moses and Joshua cross the Jordan on the conquest of the Promised Land, who are giants. And Og is a giant that is, you know, somewhere between 12 and 14 feet tall. And if you take Goliath, he would have been using, you know, a standard common cubit would have been about, you know, just over 9 feet to 9.5 feet. And if you use the royal cubit, because he would have been the king of Gath, he would have been closer to 11 feet tall. So it's a matter of just sort of gleaning over when it's talking about giants as to understanding who they are. But if you spend a little bit of work digging into it and paying attention to it, you'll quickly learn that not only are these giant nations, but they don't have any lineage back to the Table of Nations in First Chronicles or Genesis, which lists the nations that come out of the sons of Noah, of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So these giant nations come out of nowhere, and they wreak havoc in the early post-diluvian world.
So some of what I've caught of the topic is actual physical discoveries. Have you found that there are, you know, physical proof tying any of this together?
Yeah, there certainly is records of giants, you know, from, you know, reliefs all around the world. From the ancient times, you've got newspaper articles in North America from about the 1860s right up to about 1950 that list, you know, discoveries of giants in North America. And California is one of the most one of the areas where you get the most discoveries of giant skeletons. One would have been 12 feet, another one would have been 9 feet, which would have been the largest coming out of California.
Yeah, I want to say I heard something about Spanish conquistadors and finding bones and stories about this.
Yeah, that's quite well documented in history as they're talking to the people that they're conquering. They're hearing stories of these giants. They're actually showing some bones. You've got giants in, you know, in the time of the Roman period, for example, that would be, you know, 9'9", 11 feet. Names like Passio and Cingadilia and Gabarus and another Thracian that was 9 feet tall. I don't recall his name, but there's many of these giants that are named all the way through history and recorded, and they typically go with what people call today in the genre as elongated skulls. And it's not that you can't create an elongated skull from binding that separates these skulls that go along with the other skeleton parts is that you can't create the same sort of cranial capacity. They're just simply significantly bigger. And so this elongated skull without a suture in the back goes along with it, with those discoveries.
Yeah, a lot of the comparison there seems to be that they think, you know, that researchers seem to think that humans creating the elongated skull is somewhat paying homage to these beings.
Hey, that's exactly right, to them and to the parents. And the reason for that is and if you, let's say, look at King Akhenaten in a King Tut museum. So you have this king that's, depending on which chronology of history you're going to use, somewhere from 1200 BC to 1400 to 1500 BC. And he's got this elongated chin and these very, very high cheekbones and these large slanted eyes and this incredibly elongated skull. And this is over 2,000 years after the creation of the Nephilim. And what's important to understand about this is it's portraying a serpentine sort of imagery. And so the original giants were thought to have the face of a viper and their eyes would glow. And they were the sons of the gods who in the Bible are known as seraphim angels, which are the watchers, which would be a term that comes out of Enoch or out of Greek traditions as Grigori. And they were fiery serpent angels. And so their offspring were thought to look just like them. And then if you cross-pollinate that again or match that up with other mythologies, all of a sudden you find in, let's say, the Kishimaya or all throughout Central America, you have the feathered serpent. Well, this is a seraphim angel. And if you go to the gods of Olympus, their first depictions are serpent-like. And if you go to the Anunnaki, they were called the serpent gods. And if you go to the Egyptian original gods, they're called the Asgod, which are the serpent dogs. And if you go to India, they're the Nagas, which is a serpent god. So this is a standard sort of thing in prehistory of what these gods used to look like. And in most traditions, the giants would also look similar to what their parents were. Now, there were some other giants that would have a lion sort of appearance that they say came from Ariel, which is, you know, basically a name for a lion only as a god or a fallen angel. And there's a few other versions of the giants around the world in terms of their look, but the most common one is that serpent-like look.
Okay, well, we got about three more minutes until break, so hopefully this is enough time for you to answer this. So when I think of fallen angels, there was the war in heaven with Lucifer, you know, the devil. But when we're talking about the watchers that came to lay with the human women, we're dealing with a different group of angels, aren't we?
No, they're part of the same group. And there's many different hierarchies of the angels. The seraphim are just at the sort of very close to the top of the pecking order. And so Satan would also be cherubim and seraphim, just as he's described in Revelation 12 as a serpent and a dragon. And so the seraphim angels, though, they were the governors of the earth. But there's many different ranks, and there was over 100 million angels, if we take Revelation 5 at its word, at 10,000 times 10,000, and then Revelation 12, either a third of those rebelled or a third will by the end of the end time, which means that there is probably many different kinds of angels at many different levels of hierarchy that rebelled.
All right. Thank you very much. We're going to commercial break here. You are listening to our guest, Gary Wayne. We are talking about biblical conspiracy and giants. And I am really enjoying it because I'm getting a lot of clarification here on Radio Wasteland.
Tell me, is it true?
Walking on the water, sweet Jesus, walking in the sky. Sinking sand took my hand, raised me up, and he brought me up like. Black Bear Diner was started by a couple of hungry guys with a big dream. That dream? Good old-fashioned family food with great service. Like the classic Volcano Breakfast. Secret recipes, sweet cream pancakes, hickory-smoked bacon, sausage, and fresh cracked eggs. Mmm. Served day or night at over 100 Black Bear Diner locations. Feeding all you hungry bears out there makes us so proud.
Here's your breakfast for dinner. No more coffee?
Thanks, Rosie. I'm sorry. Pancakes at sunset make me a little emotional.
Life is complicated, but TV should never be. TV should be easy. At BNT Satellite, your local dish-authorized retailer, our goal is to make it easy on you. TV that's easy on your budget and your lifestyle. Cut the complicated cable and ease in the dish with no surprises. We'll explain it all up front, find the right package for you, and install your state-of-the-art system with professional, thoughtful service. Call us now at 530-241-3474. At BNT Satellite, ask about special discounts that may be available. That's BNT Satellite at 530-241-3474. Let's make your TV choice easy with Dish. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo. 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Simpson University will prepare you to be a teacher in just 12 months. Start summer, fall, or spring and fill the need for the next generation of educators. Many Simpson students have landed teaching jobs before completing their credential program. We'll show you how you can accomplish this and receive an instructional iPad too. Simpson University offers scholarships, grants, and financial aid to help you achieve your educational goals. Call 1-888-9-SIMPSON or go online to simpsonu.edu/credential for more details.
Join One Safe Place on Wednesday, October 18th at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center for Undaunted, an evening of inspiration with guest speaker Matthew Sandusky, adopted son of former Penn State coach Jerry Sandusky, who will discuss his journey from being a victim to becoming a survivor. Undaunted is a One Safe Place benefit dinner to help support a community affected by family violence. For tickets, table, and sponsorship information, visit One Safe Place at ospshasta.org.
Jesus, don't cry. You can rely on me, honey. You can combine anything you want.
Welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Gary Wayne. Gary, where do we think that the giants went? Do we think that they were exterminated by us, that they were bred into us? What do we think happened to them?
That's a very, very good question because, and as I started off a little early on in the show, I was trying to connect Genesis 6 with end time prophecy. So where did they go and why would I be doing that if they weren't somehow still around? And so
that's a good point. If they're coming back for the end times, they've got to be somewhere, don't they?
They've got to be somewhere or they're going to impact the end times some way, somehow. And so, what happened with the Giants is they partnered with the groups that I had mentioned earlier with in the mystical religions, and they usurped the kingships both before and then again after the flood. And so they started these royal dynasties, whether or not it's in Egypt or it's in Mesopotamia, which are the two major sort of civilizations after Babel. And they, just as you see these dynasties setting up in other countries as well, and they're all right after the flood, still saying that they're from the gods. And so over time though, there's not an ability to seemingly reproduce without, having, blood diseases from too much intermarriage. So they're bringing in outside bloodlines as best they can. Still, sort of within the family circle of the outside family, to intermarry. But those bloodlines over time continue to dilute. And so I'll make the case and I'll show bloodlines and dynasties and things in my book where we have these dynasties still and bloodlines still around today who hold the keys to a lot of the power and the royal family.
So we think that this is basically old money. This is the Illuminati, the 1%, the controlling people of our planet, maybe, that they've become, and they're in hiding till the end times? I'm not sure I stated that very well, but is that kind of what we're going with this?
Yeah, partly.
Yeah.
Partly. But also understand that these different secret societies are controlled by the purebloods. And just as the houses of money that were created, known as banks, you know, and certainly the Rothschilds, and they also claim the purebloods, they're just a group that's set up by the purebloods as the front people to do what they want to do. And you've got many of those societies being set up, Rothschilds are being one, because it used to be centralized with the Templars until they were disbanded. So banking was one of the big things that Templars did, and to talk about the money, they needed to be set up. So they're set up by a family in Germany named Bauer, who changed their name to Rothschilds when they set up the London Bank in 1802. So, yeah, they control it, but it's the families that you need to be aware of, and not just the European families. So, I mean, people might be familiar with the de Bouillon or Plantagenet or Lorraine or Anjou. Those are very important purebloods that take their genealogies back to the Nephilim and the fallen angels, just as the royal family does in England, the House of Windsor, which was the House of Hanover. But you've got other major families around the world that also do the same thing, that hold power. And one of those actually holds power in China today, and that's the Li family. And they go right back to their gods in a similar identical story. So, yeah, money and power and pure blood and royalty.
So we don't have too much time until the end of our show, but what is the giant's role in end times?
Well, they are working actively with all of these other religions and secret societies to bring about the end time. They want to bring on this rendezvous with destiny. They want this showdown with God because they're going to try and win. They've been
so their part,
led by...
Their part in end times is less... Because, you know, when we think of the giants of old, we're thinking about, you know, clubbing people with a stick and stuff. But their role or usurping the throne was still probably a violent task at the time, but their roles today are much more manipulative than physical.
Yes. Yeah, unless there's another recreation, which is always a possibility, because we're also going to have these impassioned angels that were imprisoned in the abyss, released in as it records in Revelation 7. But the thing to remember, though, is that the bloodlines that I tend to focus on more, but I leave the possibility open. So in Daniel 2:43, which is the prophecy of the metallic dynasties, and you have Babylon, and you have Persia, and you have Greece, and you have Rome, and you have the end time empire, it says in Daniel 2:43 that the descendants of these metallic dynasties are going to mix with humans. And so this 10-world empire is going to be set up in the end time, which I think is going to be groups of nations or trading blocks or spheres of influence. And it's going to be like iron and clay. So it's going to be a mixture of human, and it's going to be a mixture of the descendants of these bloodlines or new Nephilim being created, I suppose is another possibility, that is going to come about in the end time. Just as the Club of Rome was set up in the late 1960s, and they have already back then set the world up into these 10 blocks of nations. And what they're trying to do is bring about the New Age, or the New Atlantis that Francis Bacon talked about in his book, The New Atlantis, which is a one-world government under a religion that works in harmony with science, which is the polytheist religions that create the seven sacred sciences, which we haven't had time to talk about, but were created at the time of the Nephilim. Because Atlantis, as we talked about, which was created by Poseidon and Climene and the 10 Titan kings, that was known as the helm of world government in the antediluvian age, and they're trying to recreate that new golden age. That was a mouthful, but I wanted to get that all sort of connected.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, one thing that crosses my mind is I'm not sure if I have the science very good on this, but, you know, like bison and buffalo, they can breed out. I don't know. Is this making sense? When they have an animal that is a crossbreed, yep, they can breed out. They do it with dogs. It's crossbred. Sure. They breed it back out.
Yeah, it's one of those antediluvian crimes against creation, just as the Nephilim were. It's how the whole world becomes corrupted. And so that's why that, you know, our technology is heading in a direction that is very, very similar to what happened in the end of age, because you have like centaurs that are created, right? And you have Chimera, and you have Pegasus, and you have satyrs, and you have cyclops and mermaids, and you have all of these different things being created in mythologies around the world. That is either physical copulation with fallen angels and or DNA manipulation. And what's important to understand about that as it relates to the end time is that if our technology is where it is today, and they had the ability to do this in the antediluvian age somehow, some way, and we're not in the end time yet, and our technology is still developing, then that means that their technology was greater than what we have today. But I do believe we are closing in on the end time, so our technology gap is closing. So, you know, maybe we can expect to see similar things that were created in the antediluvian world.
Well, I really appreciate you being on the show. Time sure just flew by. Can you tell our listeners a way that they can find out more about you, find out about your new book?
Sure. You can get a hold of me through my website. That's the Genesis6Conspiracy.com, Genesis 6 with the number 6. And on there I have a generous excerpt of all 98 chapters of the book, so you get a good feel for it. I've got some interviews up there, so you can get a good feel for other things we might, you know, might that might be in the book as well. And you can order a signed copy through the website, or you can order through BarnesandNoble.com. It's available there. Amazon.com, also available through your local bookstore if you'd want to support them, because it's distributed by Bookmasters. And you can email me through my website as well. And if you do get a hold of me, I will get back to you if you have a question. You can follow me on Facebook under Gary Wayne, and I have two Genesis 6 conspiracy pages and a group called the Genesis 6 Conspiracy Gary Wayne. You can follow me there. And also on Twitter at GaryWayne63, at GaryWayne63.
All right, Gary, I really appreciate you being on the show. I'm sorry the time flew by so fast. I love this topic. I've really enjoyed learning from you. You have been listening to Gary Wayne on Radio Wasteland.
Can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels sleep. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man, but it sure as God.
The news is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. President Trump says he understands Steve Bannon's anger towards Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and other incumbent Republicans.
Over the weekend, the president's former chief strategist, Steve Bannon, declared war against McConnell and other Republicans in Congress. President Trump says he, too, is unhappy with the lack of progress.
They really, really disappointed us, so I can understand fully how Steve Bannon feels.
The president says he has great relations with many senators, but
they're not getting the job done.
He says it's time for GOP senators to pass tax cuts and health care. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Officials say